looking to get caught side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the first Elm Park Royals preview show of 2022. Despite Monday, we'll try and keep this relatively upbeat. We probably should have had a preview before Derby, but who knew whether that game was even going to be on. So we didn't bother, really. Joining me today is Jonathan Lowe. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Hello. Yes, all good. Thank you.
I mean, I say we're going to try and keep it upbeat, but Monday, I mean, a draw on the face of things may not be the worst result in the world. Derby had been on a bit of a run, but the manner of that draw was not great.
No, certainly not. I think, yeah, like you said, I mean, probably a point. I think maybe on the balance of play, a draw might have actually been a fair result. I'm sure plenty of people would disagree with that, but I would probably argue that it was fair. But yes, like you said, it's the manner of the last 10 minutes or so, really, that will be what fans remember it for. And unfortunately, it will certainly weigh on fans and players' minds, I would have thought, for the next couple of weeks or so, until they get out of the system and put in a good performance. So, yes, one to forget to begin 2022, unfortunately. I mean, the only saving grace is that it probably wasn't a defeat, even though it probably felt like one. I mean, you know, they started the game well. There were some encouraging signs. I thought Tom Holmes had a very good game. I thought Andy Carroll had a decent game as well. And Junior Hoylett as well, obviously, with his goals as well. His first one, really nicely taken goal. So there were some pleasing aspects to come out of it. But unfortunately, it was kind of the same old Reading as we've seen this season. The predictable nature of how the second half and, you know, mainly half hour panned out was just predictable, and you know, it's the way they sank deeper and deeper as the game wore on. It just invited the pressure, and ultimately Derby got a point which they thoroughly deserved, I think.
Do you have an opinion on, I don't want to say blame, because I think blame can be attributed many different ways, but whether it's the players that should be stepping up there or whether it was the management team that got things wrong in that second half?
It's a very good question, and it's a very difficult one to answer, I think, because I think it's, you know, at the risk of sitting on the fence, I think the manager and his coaching staff have, you know, got a large responsibility for it. I think the players have got responsibility as well. I think the captain has got a big responsibility as well, even though that was Josh Laurent. Something rather unfamiliar for him. So I think kind of combination of all three, really. You know, had Femi Aziz buried that chance late on when I think it was 2-1. I think it would have been 3-1. That would have been game over, obviously. And we wouldn't be talking about this. So as the old cliche goes, it's those fine margins. But certainly, I think, I guess it stems from the top, doesn't it? So that's the manager and the coaching staff have got sort of maybe the biggest responsibility out of all of it. There did sort of seem to be a sense of, I don't know how to describe it, just not unease, but a slight nervousness maybe in the sort of around the hour mark just after the second goal, because you thought, you know, there's still a long way to go in the game, and maybe sort of some of the fans sensed it as well, and it filtered through to what happened on the pitch. I say, you know, as we've seen twice before the season against Blackpool and QPR, that they've surrendered a two-goal lead. So, you know, it's a mentality thing as well for the players. I think the players have shown over the past, you know, not just 6-18 months, it's, you know, it goes back 4-5 years, isn't it, the mental fragility that a lot of them have. I think that all contributes, and that Luke Southwood error for the first Derby goal as well, and then, you know, Tom Holmes switching off, allowing Curtis Davis to put a bullet header past Southwood in injury time. So it's just a combination of those things, really. You know, if it's pin me down, I guess it'll be Paunovic, because, you know, say it starts from the top of the blame, but you know, players do have to take a large portion of the responsibility as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think the sort of worrying thing, I mean, as everyone has touched on, is the pattern that, you know, over the last few weeks, that Reading can't A, hold on to a lead, but B, even if they have a lead or a drawing, the second half is always sitting deep. It doesn't seem like we continue with the game plan, and whether that's to do with the number of injuries and just we don't have fit enough players to play 90 minutes at this point, especially if a lot of them have had COVID and aren't fully fit, it's hard to tell. So he does still, in my mind, have that kind of caveat to fall back on a little bit, but obviously that only works so often. And as others have pointed out, if we're playing every week, he complains. If we just come back from a break, he complains. And that does get a bit grating for fans, definitely. So that break that we had, you know, in December was probably good for getting some players back, even though half of them still seem to be missing. It's obviously created quite a congested January, which you'd normally think of as December. Do you think that he'll play the full team at Kidderminster, or will he go for the youth and keep them, the senior guys fit for, you know, the Fulham game and Middlesbrough after that?
I think he'll go with the youth. He might play a few of the senior players, but I think he'll certainly give the FA Cup game gives the youngsters an opportunity to have run out. You know, the likes of probably Jamari Clark, Tyrrell Ashcroft, Dejan Tetek, if he's back, possibly Kanai Boyce Clark as well in goal. Because, you know, as much as we all like a cup run, every season it seems to be the league's the priority for Reading, and even more so this season, maybe more so than ever, really. And they just can't afford to risk any more injuries. You know, given this break, we're still not kind of 100% sure, you know, who's had COVID, who's injured, who's recovered from COVID, who's back from injury. And of course, no doubt some of these players who are back from injury will, you know, have setbacks at some point, either in their recovery or when they are back on the field as well. So that just adds to the frustrations. So, yeah, I think, you know, that the Fulham and Middlesbrough games are certainly on paper really, really difficult games, especially the way those two teams are going at the moment. So, yeah, they're going to want all their senior players back fit for those games and give them a good crack. They've got a couple of games, I think, towards the end of the month, which are more winnable. I think Luton at home, and obviously the Peterborough one. Well, that's in February, but yeah, they're games that they really need to be getting the 3 points from. So I think for the cup game, it'll be a rotated side, or rotated as much as it can be. And you know, if the senior players do play, it will only be, I guess, probably final half hour or maybe first 45 minutes, just to keep them as fresh as possible for the league.
And I mean, we're probably not going to go on for that much longer, because let's be honest, neither of us know too much about Kidderminster. But do you think that this run of fixtures is Veljko Paunovic's, not biggest test, but the biggest test for his job security? Because obviously that draw on Monday has kind of killed the mood. A loss against Kidderminster, a lot of people are already saying that should be the end of him. But even if we beat Kidderminster, you've got Fulham, then Middlesbrough. Okay, Luton might be a bit more winnable, but QPR, like a lot of teams in the top half of the table, realistically, picking up points in this period is going to be really difficult for him.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be difficult for him, difficult for players, and to say that this sort of relentless nature of these fixtures, it's going to catch up on some of the players. So I've got no doubt about that. And so it'll all be how they cope. I mean, the Kidderminster game is a bit of a free hit, I suppose. You know, unless they lose 5-0, then I should think he'll be in the job, you know, for, at least for the Fulham game. But I say those Fulham and Middlesbrough games are really, really difficult. But, you know, I think overall this month is a really crucial month, I think, on and off the field, in terms of getting some points, getting, you know, enough points to get a bit of breathing space between them and the relegation zone, and also what they can do in the transfer window, which won't be very much. But if they can somehow, you know, get a few deals, get a couple of players out off the wage bill, and you know, get a couple of freebies in or loan players, then you know, that will set them up at least for the next couple of months, and you know, also tie down a couple of players who are out of contract to new contracts. So it's a really busy month for Reading. The priority has to be getting, you know, as many wins as possible in the league. You know, if they don't get that, then I think there'll be ever increasing number of questions for Veljko Paunović to answer. You know, I think this COVID outbreak has given him a little bit more time. Not to mention that, you know, these injuries, and hopefully having Lucas Shaw back sooner rather than later will give the team a big boost, and hopefully to turn the side's fortunes around. So I think you know, it's we'll know a lot more about Veljko Paunović in 3 or 4 weeks' time. You know, if they don't get a couple of wins, then I can really, you know, who knows whether they're contemplating a change, to be honest, because you know, it's very hard to second guess Dai Young, but you think he'll be under certainly severe pressure if they are where they are at the moment in the table at the end of January.
I did start this podcast by saying we try and be upbeat, but that is difficult at the minute, for sure. You know, with everything. Do you want to hazard a prediction for the Kidderminster game?
Not particularly, because I saw someone tweet about it's just going to be a repeat of Stevenage, and that's kind of been on my mind ever since. And I fear that it might be something like that. Well, of course, it won't be a repeat of Stevenage because it's going to be decided on the day. There's no replays. So even if it is a draw then at least it'll go to penalties, potentially. I mean, Kidderminster are going to be right up for it. But you still like to think that Reading are going to have enough to win the game. So I will go for a 2-1 away win.
Oh, that's not that confident, given they're in National League North.
I know, but you know, it's I've heard that Agborough is a tough place to go. Although actually, I'll probably caveat that by saying it will probably go to extra time. So 2-1 after 120 minutes. 120 painful minutes, probably.
Okay, well, I'll go for a easy 3-0 Reading win, because, you know, that's how we do things. We're just nice and simple. Yeah. The most disappointing thing about Saturday already is that they used to do these really good pies there, which were like the talk of everyone in the Football League and below. And they've stopped doing them this season. So that's going to be upsetting. Just going to have to get generic football ground food. But
devastated.
Yeah,
that's the way we're in a trip.
Yeah, I know. But it's a sellout completely. Home end sold out, away end sold out. So should be a good atmosphere at least. It's nice to go somewhere that isn't just a championship ground that you play at every week. So I'm looking forward to it. And you know, fingers crossed that even if he plays a youth, it should be enough to get us through. No disrespect to Kidderminster, but obviously you would hope that our guys are, especially with a sprinkling of the senior players, as is likely to happen, they should be good enough. So, yeah, I don't want to be one of those people that get really overconfident and then have to come back the next week and apologise for cursing us. But
yeah, it's you know, any side going there, they're yeah, I mean, I don't know much about Kidderminster, to be honest, but I imagine that the pitch may not be pristine, and the fans will be on top of you, and you know, they'll you know, not waste time, but take the time over things, and they'll do their best to annoy Reading, and it'll be whether they can respond to that, basically.
Yeah, well, let's hope they do. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hopefully, next time we'll be talking about, you know, we'll have played Fulham at least by next time we speak, so you know. Maybe we'll have 3 points and a fourth round of the FA Cup to talk about. Next up, we talk to Shane Wilkinson to get the Kidderminster side of things. I'm joined by Shane Wilkinson, at non-league writer on Twitter, a season ticket holder for Kidderminster Harriers. Shane, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, Matthew. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, I don't think that many Reading fans are going to know an awful lot about Kidderminster. So, well, the town or the team. Give us a bit of a lowdown on the Harriers and how your season's going so far.
Well, to start at the start, really, the town, famous for the carpets, which may explain the DY10 carpet men chant that will most likely be sung at some point by the North Stand. Oh, yeah, the Harriers then. Yeah, obviously, former Football League club. I believe it's the only team in Worcestershire to have ever had a Football League club, so we do hold that distinct honour. Went up in 1999, relegated in 2004-05. We were actually denied promotion before, at some point in the 90s, slightly before my time, due to ground grading rules. Remember those antiquated... not long after 1-up, 1-down got brought in, but that's off the top of my head. It may not be factually correct. Yes, just traditionally a conference premier team, I'd say. Some good times, some bad times, and we're now down in step two, National League North, where we've been for, I think it's 5 years now. Well, save for the early couple of years under John Eustace, I'd say this is our best season at the level yet under our old midfielder, Russ Penn. We're sitting in the playoff positions. We've only played 16 games. The teams around us have played up to 19, obviously with the cup run and COVID. So I think in horse racing terms, we'd be prominent, I think would be the right term to use.
Yeah, so you mentioned COVID. Reading have had a kind of elongated layoff, and you guys haven't played since the middle of December, is that right?
Yeah, the 18th of December in a 4-1 defeat to Boston United in the FA Trophy. Yeah, I'm aware of the Reading COVID layoff. We've been, since the draw's been made, a few of us have been keeping our eyes on matters down there, just to see what we're up against. But, the challenge with that really is there's always one or two camps, isn't there? There's the doom and gloom merchants who, there's going to be nobody available and we're going to have to pluck the under 16s and we're going to lose. And then you've got the eternal optimists who are like, Lucas, yeah, we'll be back and everybody will be back and everything will be fine. Obviously, just like every good story, I think the truth's somewhere in the middle with you guys, but ourselves, as I say, yeah, we've not played since the 18th because of COVID, but not on our side, annoyingly. Hereford and Kettering both had cases of COVID, and we were due to play on the 2nd. And Hereford, much to, I think, everybody's annoyance this side of the border, they called it off at 8:30 the night before. Just to clarify that, Hereford is one of our big derbies. It's the Hereford and Worcester, two counties quite close to each other. So, in fact, we share the same radio station. So that it's the Hereford and Worcester derby, which traditionally takes place over Christmas. But this time will be on a couple of random Tuesday nights in February and March, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, they're, as you kind of alluded to earlier, there aren't that many other teams around you at the same level, historically anyway. What kind of style do Kidderminster play? Is it attacking? Like, should we expect lots of energy? Are you more defensive?
I think energy is the perfect word to use there, actually. And very energetic. We are, I know going into, I know the last time we played, we were the top goal scorers in our league. I've not checked the data on that from the last round of games that have taken place, but we are among the top scorers in the league. And going back to when we beat Grimsby in the first round, energy was the perfect word to use. It was, they couldn't deal with our energy. And with Halifax, we just blew them away in the first 20 minutes. So we are a predominantly front foot team, I'd say. We'll try and get it down. We'll try and play through the third. High energy, high pressing, as is really the way that everybody plays these days. But we're not afraid to, if we need to, go a little bit more direct. We have got a good mix there where we've got an old-fashioned number nine in Amari Morgan-Smith, who's got 6 goals this season. He'll hold the ball up, but the goals come from the three and behind him. Ash Hemmings is a tricky winger. He's had a bit of experience in the Championship and League One back when he came through the Academy of Wolves, about 15 years ago, I'd have thought, 12 years ago. He's our top scorer with 11. In behind Amari at number 10, we've got Sam Austin, who's a club legend already, I'd say. He's already played over 150 games since joining the club back in, I think it was 2016. And apart from, I think, centre-half and goalkeeper, he's played every position, which just makes what he's doing this season even more ridiculous. Because he's a diminutive attacking player 4 years ago, was our number one left back. Yeah, explain that. And then on the other wing, our other pace merchant, another player with plenty of Football League experience from his days at Mansfield. And he's got 5. But we got goals all over the pitch. Alex Penny at right back if he plays. He's got 5 this season. Our other right back on loan from Warsaw, Joe Folks, who picked up a bad injury back in October down at Ware when we played them in the third qualifying round. He's just had his loan extended to the end of the season. He's just on the comeback trail now. And he chipped in with 2 in about 9 games, I think it was. So definitely a team who like to play on the front foot and take it to the opposition.
So do you think that the COVID sort of break that you've had will help you? Or do you think that maybe you'll end up running out of legs kind of midway through the second half?
I know what you're hoping the answer will be there, Matt, but we are still a full-time professional team. So those, you know, the BBC, ITV, insert TV station here, cliches of the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker and the part-time warehouse workers, they're not going to apply here, unfortunately. We remain full-time since we've come down here. So in terms of fitness, Russ will have had them all on the training ground. I've got full faith that the fitness will stand up. Because, you know, the COVID, obviously it would have been different if our side were to have had the COVID, but because we've been the indirect, yeah, we've had the indirect consequences, as it were, not being able to play, but not of our own doing. That should be okay. I mean, we've had no real injuries to speak of, so that were publicly announced anyway, apart from Lewis Montrose, who's started to come back. So, obviously, we're about 3.5 weeks by the time the game comes around. Just give those little niggles a chance to subside. But at the same time, is that going to be at the expense of a lack of match fitness, that match sharpness, which you need at any time, let alone playing a team who are in the Championship, you know?
Yeah, sorry, I meant no slight by that question. I did genuinely mean the kind of match fitness you're talking about there. Reading looked a bit rusty towards the end of our game on Monday, which I'm not going to touch on again because it went pretty yeah, badly in the end.
I was doing a little bit of independent scouting, and just to your point, there's no slight take, and I just know it's a bit of a trope in it with the wider media. So we'll get our little independent media shot in at the big boys while we can. But yeah, to your game at the weekend, it's all merged into one, hasn't it, this Christmas period. I was quite keen to watch that game, actually. Just, again, see, I know we're probably not going to see all the boys that played on display, such as Junior Hoylett, but what a strike that was, by the way. It was just to get a flavour of what the style of play is, because we could, as I alluded to earlier, we can all read things online. It's Vladko, isn't it, your manager? He's not a cup manager. Oh, he plays a load of hoofball. He does this, he does that. Well, as somebody who probably hasn't watched a Reading game in about 15 years, well, what better way to try and get a little preview than to happened to watch a game when it was on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to know what you guys thought of drawing Reading, actually, because obviously Kidderminster are the lowest ranked side left in the competition. So again, no disrespect meant, but I think a lot of Reading fans were quite happy with that draw. Maybe less so now, given everything that's going on with us. It could definitely be a banana skin. But what were you guys thinking? Were you happy with the draw? Would you have rather drawn, you know, someone lower down than us, or even one of the Premier League big boys?
Well, the obvious answer is the big boys, isn't it? I mean, funny enough, a little bit of self-promotion, if you'll indulge me. After the Halifax game, I went on to a popular phone-in show with two ex-professionals, and they asked me the same one. And they used the Caddy of Norwich, who one of the presenters supports. And I was, yeah, to say I'm raspberry it a little bit was, that'd be a fair statement. So they got low. There was a little bit of egg on my particular face, but again, no disrespect. When you get to the third round and you're this low, you're aiming at the stars, aren't you? You are aiming for Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Liverpool, well, anyone in the top 16 of the Premier League. So when you get from the outside, a struggling Championship side, the first reaction is, it is a little bit underwhelming, especially when you're the ties either side, you're like Liverpool and Shrewsbury. And it was so close. But in the cold light of day, when we reflect on it, they're a struggling Championship side. Okay, they are a better team than us, the four leagues higher. They have far better players, obviously. But they're struggling. And when we struggle, we lose confidence. We're doing well, we have confidence. And just something down to that minute detail could make the difference. So then, as time goes and you have all your well-documented issues on top of that, they start to think, actually, this isn't too bad. It could have been worse. We could have drawn somebody like Wigan. You know, just pumped Oldham 6-0 last night. I'd rather be sitting here now with a game on Saturday, no disrespect, against a Reading team who threw 3 points away in the last 5 minutes on Monday or whatever day it was, as opposed to playing a side who have just come off a 6-0 spanking. So it's what you make of it, really, isn't it? But ultimately, what we have got is a side we've never played, a side we'll probably never play again. The closest we've ever got to playing was being in the old Division 3 when you guys were in the old Division 2. And for 99%, 80%, taking off your 1,500 that you sold out, the only time any of us are going to watch a Reading team will be on Sky Sports, or as it was for me, which I'm holding on to, is you were a Premier League team in my conscious footballing lifetime. It was only 17 years ago with the great team of Steve, managed by Steve Copple, with Marcus Hanneman, Ivar Ingemarsson, a bleached blonde Kevin Doyle. We were watching the Hunt brothers for another two. We were watching those highlights on ITV's The Premiership before Match of the Day got the rights back. So for people of my age, mid to late 20s, if they think the same way as me, this is a very recent Premier League club. And we can't really poo-poo that, for me anyway.
Well, and absolutely, as you say about Reading's issues, like, I don't think that anyone, the Reading side of things, are approaching this as a game that is not without some hazard. And you really never know, especially if we put out a team. We played Swansea in the Carabao Cup earlier in the season, and the average age of that team was like 17 or 18 with almost no senior experience whatsoever. So if that side gets put out again, who knows what will happen? Because obviously, I think the manager will want to protect some of the senior players, especially unlike yourselves, we had COVID in our camp, and I think he'll probably want to protect them.
Yeah.
Tell us about Agbara. And, I think it's completely sold out, I think. So it should be a good atmosphere.
Yeah, that's correct. Usually holds about 6,500, but because of numerous things, I think, COVID red zones, I think the buzzword is, isn't it, these days? You've got to the red zones and the TV gantries that the companies want for the extended highlights. For one reason or another, and a multitude of them all, were down to about 5,000, which were sold out. I'm not going to say it's a traditional non-league stadium, because it isn't. It's a Football League 2 standard stadium. It's probably better than some of the grounds in League 2, if we're honest. Thinking of, although I've never been, Forest Green Rovers, it never strikes you as some grounds look non-league. It doesn't matter if you're a Midlands-based team or a more Southern-based team. We've all got an idea of a non-league ground, haven't we? And we've got an idea of a lower league ground, and a Football League ground, and a Premier League ground. Obviously, with the Medeski, it's a Premier League Championship ground, as proven by where the club's got to. And it's the same goes with Agra. It's a top non-league ground into decent Football League ground, evidenced by we've actually got there. I believe you guys have got half of the East Stand, which will be seated, and then the South Stand, which is all terraced. So that will be, it's all at your level, it's all seated. So that, again, that'll be a nice change for fans. It's something that a lot of Reading fans probably won't have experienced. Sure, you'll all stand at the games, but you'll usually have a steward saying, oh, sit down, or a chair behind you. But this is terrace, this is crack on. Get your flags up, get your, get stand, sing, get excited, get your flags up. We'll do the same. If anybody watched the highlights on from the second round, you can see just the atmosphere it can generate. It really can be. It's a cliche, I know. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to give myself a slap on the wrist for it after. It can be the 12th man. It really can. And if, as you say, it's a side like that side back in the Carabao Cup against Swansea, where it's an average age of 17, 18, those kids, although they may be technically on a par or better, mentally, are they going to be prepared for that? They probably won't have played at that level of intimidation or just sheer massive humanity. So I do think you'll need some experienced heads in there, but it's whether they're available for you, whether Vladko decides to play them, because I believe you play Fulham on Tuesday night as well, don't you?
Yeah.
So, so that's another thing that could potentially play to our advantage. You've got 3 games in 8 days. You look at it on paper, Championship game against fellow strugglers. Yeah, we can't really throw that away. Okay, Fulham will be a bit more of a free hit with them going well in the league. But it's still a league game, and if you can steal a point, that's one more point towards safety. And then you've got a team 4 leagues below, a non-league team. Well, if there's ever a time to rotate or take a risk or blood some fresh legs or even bring somebody back from injury, I think, again, Lucas Joe's supposed to be on his way back, isn't he? That's the game you'd look to do it in, wouldn't it, from a Royals perspective?
Yeah, 100%. Although, I'm not sure Zhao's going to be back for this game. But a few of the other ones might be. You know what I am disappointed about, Shane? That we are visiting Agra in the year that Kidderminster have stopped selling their pies. That's the most disappointing thing to me. Absolutely legendary football pies, and we're not even going to get to taste them.
Now, you notice that's the one thing I left out of the bit about the club, because it's a wound that's best left unpicked. But no, in all seriousness, that was, well, evidently what we were known for. So, even you guys are aware of it. Yeah, those pies were, and I will emphasise were, unfortunately, some of the best food you get in football, but unfortunately the brains behind the operation, Brian Murdoch, or I should now say the late great Brian Murdoch, passed away not too long ago before the start of the season, and for one reason or another the family in the club couldn't agree something, or I'm not privy to all the details, so the famous pies are sadly no longer.
just upsetting all round. But anyway, Shay, I've got one final question, and that is, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Oh, if you gave me 50p of your money, Matt, and say go and put it on a score, I think I would have to offer 2-1 Harriers.
Nice.
I can't back against it's the golden rule of football betting or prediction making, isn't it? You can never back against your own teams. I'll jump between a healthy respect for the game and they're going to put the kids out and we're going to beat them. I've been flip-flopping between those, having internal debates about the last week and a half. But I think some of that is just because we played Manchester United's under-23s in pre-season. The grand total of that squad that turned up was 11 million quid. With about four internationals and a member of the Welsh Euro 2021 squad in Dylan Levitt. And we came from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with them. So that is skewing my thinking a little bit if it's a bit more of an academy side that you bring. But it's like comparing apples and oranges, isn't it? You can't fall into that trap.
Well, no, I think I said a 3-0 win to Reading, but that's more heart than head, to be fair. Like, I'm just sort of hoping that we turn up. But it really could be anything. Like, in some ways, a loss in the cup is probably, some people are going to hate me for saying this, but it's probably not the worst thing that could happen for Reading this season. So I don't even want to think about fixture congestion if we actually progress. So, yeah, I mean, it'll just be a nice day out. And that's the key thing.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's, you know, we're probably not going to meet again. You know, unless there's some really, really strange events that go on in the next however many years to come. But it's just, for my part, personally, I like to get out of games, not just Harriers games. If, you know, in this past week when we've not been playing, I've been at the local non-league scene generally. So to have had the replays taken away, for me, was a little bit disappointing, because it's, if we got the draw, we'd be coming down to, I still call it the Medeski. It's that old fart syndrome. It's Bolton's the Reebok, Reading is the Medeski, not the sponsored stuff that there is now. That's, I know I'm not going to be popular with your sponsors for saying that, but hey ho.
I would point out that the Reebok is also a sponsor, but yes.
But it's a good point, well made. But the is it now the University of Bolton, is it, or something? It's they're just dyed in the wool, aren't they?
And 100%,
the Medeski 100%. Is one of, was it the serving cars or something? It's, I know, something
the cars thing, yeah.
That's the one. I know it was something beginning with S. But yeah, the opportunity to have come to a not too distant past Premier League ground. You know, even if it was only half, it was only 8,000 there, that's still, our average attendance is 2,000. So that's still something great for the players, great for the fans. The last time we was at a stadium like that was the last time we got this far, which was Sunderland in round 4. There was only 10 or 12,000 there. But I'll still talk about that now, as I am now, funnily enough. Yeah, there was only 10 or 11,000 there then, but it was that experience of you're watching your team at an elite level club stadium, which, you know, it's the dream for the cup, isn't it? I mean, possibly not now for Reading, because you've been there to the Premier League. Well, I'm sure certainly back in 2005 when you had your first season there, the opportunity to go to St James's for the first time, potentially, or Anfield, Stamford Bridge, it was just like this big wide world opening. And that's a little bit like it would have been for us if we had the V players, but say la vie, they've taken that away, haven't they? And that's before we get onto the gate receipts.
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed they took the replays away as well. But as I say, having seen the January that we've got before us, unfortunately, it does kind of make sense this year. I'm hoping they won't scrap them forever, but given the way that they're going, they probably will just use this as an excuse. Anyway, Shane, thank you very much for joining us. I think we've run out of time, but it's been an eye-opening 25 minutes, and hopefully everyone listening will agree. You can find Shane, as I said, at Non-League Writer on Twitter. As that suggests, he doesn't just talk about Kidderminster. Thanks very much, Shane.
Thanks, Matt. It's been a pleasure, and all the best and safe travels to your 1500 coming up on Saturday. Hopefully we get a good game to watch.
Thanks very much, mate. See ya.